Volume 6, The Works of George Fox, Doctrinal Books, Roman 3, continued concerning the antiquity of the people of God called Quakers, their worship, their mother, new and heavenly Jerusalem, their faith, and who is the author and finisher of it, their belief, their way, their original, their hope, distinct from the hope of the hypocrite that perishes, their gospel, the true ministers, their leader and teacher, and that which gives them knowledge, their mediator, their overseer, the Church of Christ's prayer, and in what is their cross and their baptism. By G.F.I. concerning the antiquity of our worship. It is that which Christ set up above 1600 years ago, which, when he put down the Jews' worship at the temple at Jerusalem, and the Samaritans' worship at the mountain of Jacob's well, saying, "The hour comes and now is, those who worship the Father must worship him in the Spirit and in the truth." And this worship in the Spirit and in the truth is above all will worshippers and dragon worshippers and the worshippers of the beast. For God has poured out of his Spirit upon all flesh, and grace and truth is come by Jesus. This Spirit and truth is in the hearts and inward parts of people, that with this Spirit of truth they may know the God of truth, and in the Spirit of truth serve and worship the God of truth, of which pure truth and Holy Spirit, the devil, the foul spirit, and all his worshippers are out, and cannot come into, for there is no truth in him. And this is our pure and perfect standing worship, which Christ the Son of God set up above 1600 years ago. Roman 2. Concerning the antiquity of our religion, which was set up by Christ in his apostles above 1600 years ago, who said, "That pure religion and undefiled before God is this, to visit the widows and the fatherless, and to keep themselves unspotted from the world." And this pure undefiled religion, which brings to visit the widows and the fatherless, is above all the impure, vain, defiled religions that do not bridle people's tongues, nor keep them from the spots of the world. And their widows and their fatherless go begging about the streets, and not taken in, fed, nor clothed, nor visited. And this is below the pure, undefiled Christian religion that was set up among the primitive Christians in the apostles' days, which is our pure, undefiled religion. Roman 3. Concerning the antiquity of our mother, new and heavenly Jerusalem. She is the same as she was confessed to by the apostles in the primitive times above 1600 years ago, who said, "Jerusalem that is below is in slavery with her children, but Jerusalem that is above is free, which is the mother of us all, which is the mother of all the true believers in the light, the life in Christ, who walk in the light of heavenly Jerusalem, their mother. Those who receive Christ, to them he gives power to become the sons of God. The children of heavenly Jerusalem are also the bride, the Lamb's wife, which is free, as in Gal 4:26. The apostle said to the Church of Christ, the Hebrews, "You are come to heavenly Jerusalem, and to the innumerable company of angels, and to the assembly and congregation of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect." Heb 12:22-23. Now here you may see that the saints had come in the apostles' days to heavenly Jerusalem, their mother, and to an innumerable company of angels, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to the congregation of the firstborn, written in heaven, while they were upon the earth. This heavenly Jerusalem, which is free, is the true mother of all the true Christians now. Just as all by nature are born naturally, so all the true believers in Christ are born again. For he that believes is born of God, so born spiritually, and such are heavenly Jerusalem's children. To be born of God, one must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. But to believe is much deeper than mental assent. It is belief that his commands must be obeyed, and it is obedience, which over time demonstrates belief, resulting in continued repentance, death of the sinful nature on the inward cross of self-denial, victory by overcoming the world, the fruit of the Spirit, and to come to heavenly Jerusalem in the company of innumerable angels, spirits of just men made perfect, and fellowship in the Spirit with other saints and the Father and the Son. And again, John in the Revelation saw this holy and heavenly Jerusalem descending out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And there shall enter into it no unclean thing, nor whatsoever works abomination or makes a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Rev 21:2-10-27. Now here you may see, here are three witnesses or testimonies that do confirm heavenly Jerusalem, that is above and free, to be the mother of us all, who believe in Christ and receive him, to whom he has given power to become the sons of God and children of the light, by believing in his light and children of the day. And they of the spiritual birth know heavenly Jerusalem their mother, and walk in the light of their mother, heavenly Jerusalem, whose light is the Lord God and the Lamb. Now this heavenly Jerusalem, our mother, comes down from heaven, that brings forth her free-born children. The power and light is from Christ, who is from above, through whose power and light they become children of God and children of the light and of heavenly Jerusalem, where there is no night, and so are nursed up in the arms and bosom of heavenly Jerusalem their mother, who feeds them with the milk of the word, and they grow by it. For the Lord said, "The law shall go out of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." Micah 4:2. Is not this heavenly Zion and heavenly Jerusalem? And that the word shall not depart out of the mouths of heavenly Jerusalem's seed and children. Yes, not out of the mouth of its seed, but the word of power and of patience and of wisdom shall abide in the mouth of its seed. Namely, all heavenly Jerusalem, our mother's spiritual children in the New Covenant and New Testament, which cannot join to, nor own any mother church below her that is heavenly. And here is the antiquity of our mother acknowledged, to be the mother of all true Christians in the apostles' days and now. And in our mother heavenly Jerusalem's children is love of loves and joy of joys, above all joys and loves below, that will pass away. Romans 4. Now concerning the antiquity from where we have our faith, and who is the author and finisher of it. The apostle said to the church of Christ, the Hebrews, "Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." Heb 12:1-2. Now here you may see the apostles did not make the saints of faith, but told them look unto Jesus, who was the author or beginner and finisher of their holy and precious faith, the mystery of which is held in a pure conscience. And so Christ reveals his faith to his people. Faith comes by a personal revelation from Christ to each man, and so they grow in faith, and from faith to faith up unto Christ, the author and finisher of it. So the apostle did not say to the saints, the church of Christ, look unto us to make you a faith, and that they should be the author and finisher of their faith for them, but told them look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of their faith. This was the apostles' doctrine to the Christians in the primitive times, above 1600 years ago, and this is the doctrine that we have received and own, who look at no one below Jesus Christ, to be the author and finisher of our holy precious faith. In this faith, all God's people please him and have access to him, which faith is our victory over that which displeases God, and in which holy faith is our holy unity. By this precious faith, all the just live. This is the one, holy, pure, precious faith that purifies the hearts of God's people, which Christ is the author and finisher of, in which they have access to the holy God and serve and please him. Of our holy, Catholic, or universal faith, Christ is the beginner or author and finisher, in which holy faith the Church of Christ did, and do build one another up, which, as before Christ the Holy One, is the author and finisher of, and not men. V. Concerning the antiquity of our belief. Christ, the heavenly man and second Adam, enlightens everyone that comes into the world, with his heavenly spiritual light, which is the life in him, the Word, and by him the Word, all things were made and created. And Christ said, "Believe in the light, that you may become children of the light." And so we, believing in the light, the life in Christ, have become children of the light, and so are grafted into him, the life, in whom we have the light of life, and so are passed from the death in Adam to the life in Christ, the second Adam. And as the apostle said, "He that believes is born of God and overcomes the world." And these are the true and living members, or the living stones that make up the spiritual household, the church of Christ, which he is the holy head of. And as the apostle said, "It is given us to believe." So Christ has given us a light, which is the life in himself, and said, "Believe in the light." So we believe in that which Christ has given us, and commands and teaches us to believe in, namely, the light, which is the life in him, by which we may see him and know him, and that we may become children of the light and of the day of Christ. By this light shining in our hearts, it gives us the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. And this is the treasure which we have in our earthen vessels. And after we do believe, we are sealed with God's Spirit, and can set to our seal, having the witness in ourselves, that God is true in all his promises, and prophets, and types and shadows in the law, concerning his Son Christ Jesus, in whom we do believe, who is our heavenly rock and foundation to build upon in this heavenly divine light? And all the foundations that men lay below Christ, we cannot build upon, for we believe in the light, the life in Christ, and are grafted into him. And Christ said, He that believes in me has eternal life. And those who do the work of God believe in the Son of God that he has sent, and he that believes shall not perish but has everlasting life. And Christ said to Martha, He that believes, though he were dead, yet shall he live, and he that lives and believes shall never die. This is the true and living belief that Christ has taught us, and he has given us his light to believe in, which belief is distinct from all false beliefs that men make and teach, Romans 6, concerning the antiquity of our way. Christ Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. John 14, 6. Christ is the new and living way, which God has consecrated for us, as in Heb 10, 20. And this new and living way Christ set up himself, above 1600 years ago, by which we come to God. And as David said, As for God, his way is perfect, and it is God that girds me with strength and makes my way perfect. Psalm 18, 30, 32. Again, David said, How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. Psalm 119, 9. So the word will keep out of defiled ways. As Solomon said, The way or path of the just is as the shining light, which shines more and more unto the perfect day. But the way of the wicked is darkness, and they know not at what they stumble. Prov 4, 18-19. And that is the condition of those who hate the light. The just man's way or path and the way of the just is uprightness, and the most upright God does weigh the path of the just. Isaiah 26, 7, You that have been astray from the light, have not you heard the word from behind you say, This is the way, walk in it. Isaiah 30, 21. And all you that have heard the word Christ, and so turn to him, the light, and the way, you know the scripture fulfilled. The Old Testament was the good old way for the Jews to walk in, but Christ in the New Testament is the new and living way to God, to those who believe and walk in him. For God has given Christ to be a governor and leader for his people, and to be his salvation to the ends of the earth. So Christ, who is our leader, is our counselor and salvation and way to God, and there is no other way to the Father but by him, who has died for our sins and is risen for our justification. Romans 7. Concerning the original. John said, In the beginning was the Word, and all things were made by the Word, and without the Word was not anything made that was made. John 1:1-3, And the apostles were preachers of the Word. 1 Pet 1:25, And the apostle said, The Word is near you, ever in your heart and in your mouth, and this is the Word of faith which we preach. Rom 10:8, And James said, Of his own will he brought us forth by the Word of truth. James 1:18. So God's people are begotten by the Word of truth, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives and abides and endures forever. And so as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that they may grow thereby. 1 Pet 2:2, And John said, That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, and our hands have handled of the word of life, that declare we unto you, that you also might have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. 1 John 1:1-3, This word is no new commandment, for John said, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning. The old command is the word which you have heard from the beginning. 1 John 2:7, By the word of God which did abide in the saints, they overcame the wicked one. 1 John 2:14, And John bore record of the word of God, Rev 1:2, and said Christ's name was called the word of God. The word is called the word of grace, and the word of faith, and the word of wisdom, and the word of power, and the word of patience. This is the word by which all God's people are sanctified and made clean, and by it all things are sanctified to them, and by this word they are reconciled to God, and this word was before the confusion of Babel, with their many languages, which the priests and the world called the original. Pilate set a superscription in letters of Hebrew, Greek, and Latin, upon Christ, when they crucified him. The beast and the whore and the false church had power over the natural tongues and languages, as in Rev 13, 7, 17-15. But the word of God was before their tongues and languages were. And natural men with their natural arts and sciences and tongues do not know the things of God. For natural men in their natural schools may learn their natural arts and sciences and their natural tongues, and their natural religions, and so to be natural ministers. But those who hear Christ's voice and learn of him and are bred up in his school are made able ministers of his everlasting word. Romans 8. Concerning the antiquity of our true hope, distinct from the hope of the hypocrite that perishes. The mystery which has been hid from ages and generations is now made manifest to the saints, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Call 1:27-28, and every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. 1 John 3:3, and we are saved by hope as in Rom 8:24, so that all the saints may know what is the hope of their calling, for we being saved by hope are saved by Christ, who is to dwell in our hearts by faith, which faith purifies our hearts, for the apostle said, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our hope. 1 Tim 1:1. And we are to hold fast this hope that is set before us, which we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. And it enters into that which is within the veil, where the forerunner is for us entered in, even Jesus. Heb 6:18-20. And blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again unto his lively hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance immortal and undefiled, and that fades not away, reserved in heaven for the saints, which are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. 1 Pet 1:3-5. Here you may see the saints that are in this true and living hope have an inheritance immortal and undefiled, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. The hypocrite's hope is that God will excuse their lawlessness and sin, allowing them to escape the lake of fire, because they believe in Jesus and have been water dunked or sprinkled. Their hope is to be able to continue their life of sin, and then after death, to be excused from the wrath of God on a technicality. The hypocrite's hope is never exposed as false until after death, when it is too late to recover. The hypocrite's hope is presumption of salvation, without experience, without possession, without witnessing salvation. Romans 9. Now concerning the antiquity of our gospel. The apostle tells the Romans that the gospel of Christ is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believes. For by the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, so that the just shall live by his faith. Rom 1:16-18. And again the apostle said, the gospel which has been preached to every creature under heaven. Call 1:23. For Christ said unto his disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16:15. And God will judge the secrets of men's hearts by Jesus Christ according to my gospel, said the apostle. He being the heir of it, that is according to the power of God, which is preached to every creature under heaven. And the gospel was preached to Abraham, saying, in your seed shall all nations be blessed. And was not this gospel preached to Abraham 430 years before the law of Moses was given forth? For unto Abraham and his seed was the promise made. He said not unto seeds, as speaking of many, but unto your seed, as of one, which seed is Christ, as in Gal 3:8-16-17. So in this seed Christ are all nations and families of the earth blessed. Therefore all nations and families of the earth must come into Christ, the seed that bruises the serpent's head, if they are blessed, and then they who are of the seed through faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For the children of the promise are counted for the seed, as in Rom 9:8, and therefore all nations and families of the earth must come into the seed if they are blessed. And those who be in the seed and are baptized into Christ have put him on, and there in Christ is neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, male nor female, they are all one in Christ, Gal 3:27-28. And so are all the sons of God, by faith in Christ. Now this everlasting gospel and promise was preached to Abraham 430 years before the law was given to Moses, saying, in your seed shall all nations and families of the earth be blessed. And was it not preached to Adam, when God said, the seed of the woman shall bruise the serpent's head? And when Christ came forth, he sent his disciples into all nations to preach the gospel to every creature under heaven, as before. John in the Revelation, who saw the night of apostasy and Babylon's fall, saw the angel fly in the midst of heaven having the everlasting gospel to preach unto those who dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth, and the sea, and fountains of water. Rev 14:6-7. So this is the everlasting gospel which is preached by the Holy Ghost, sent down from heaven. Now many may have the letter of the scripture, and the form of holy men's words, for the Jews had Abraham's and the prophets' words, as the Christians have Christ's and the apostles' words, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and so may put the letter for the gospel. But the letter of the scripture declares what the gospel is. Outward scriptures or letters may be worn out, but the gospel is everlasting, which is the thing that the scripture declares of. For he that preaches any other gospel, the apostle said, let him be accursed. For the gospel, which the apostles preached and taught, was not of man, neither did they receive it of men, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Gal 1:7-12. And this is the everlasting gospel of life and salvation, saying, in your seed shall all nations be blessed. Now men may be taught the outward letter of the scripture, and receive that from men in the natural state. But that which the scripture or letter declares of is revealed by Jesus Christ, namely, the everlasting gospel, the seed, in which all nations are blessed. And for the defense of this gospel were the apostles set in their day, and so have I and many others in our day and age, against the letterwise Christians, as the apostles were against the outward letterwise Jews. And see what opposition the letterwise made then and now, that professed the gospel in words, but did, nor do not come into the seed, in which all are blessed, and which brings life and immortality to light, to all those who are in Christ the seed. This is what Paul was sent by Jesus to preach. I am sending you to open their eyes that they may turn from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, release from sin slavery, and an inheritance among those who are purified by faith in me. Acts 26:17-18x concerning the antiquity of the true ministers. Moses and Aaron and the prophets were all sent of God in the Old Testament. The Lord commanded Moses to take 12 rods and write every man's name, who were the heads of the house of their fathers, upon the rods. So one rod shall be the head of the house of their fathers, from even 12 rods. And Aaron's rod was among their rods, and Moses laid their rods before the Lord, in the tabernacle of witness. On the next morning, Moses took all the rods and Aaron's rod, and behold, Aaron's rod for the house of Levi was budded and brought forth buds and blossoms and ripe almonds, but the rest of the heads of Israel's rods brought forth nothing. So the Lord chose the house of Levi to serve him in the outward tabernacle. Num 17. And so the Lord chooses in his New Testament and covenant, whose spiritual rods do bud in the inward tabernacle, to serve him in the inward tabernacle, to be a holy royal priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices to God by Christ. 1 Pet 2:5-9. John, the greatest prophet born of a woman, was a man sent from God. John 1:6, Matt 11:11. Christ said the living Father sent him, as in John 6:57. And Christ said, as you sent me into the world, so have I sent them into the world. Namely, his disciples, and the apostles did believe that God had sent Christ, as in John 17:18-8. And Christ called his 12 disciples, and sent them forth to preach, and gave them power, and said unto them, freely you have received, and freely give, as in Matt 10:1-42. There you may see how Christ does encourage his free ministers, and likewise in Mark 6:1-6. And Christ said unto his disciples, the harvest was great, and the laborers were few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. And so you may see Christ here gives them power, and they were to pray to the Lord of the harvest for laborers, and not to the high priests and rabbis and the powers, for them to send forth their letters to learn doctors and to have power from them. And you may read in Matt 23 how Christ declares against the false teachers, and how that the Jews should persecute, crucify, and scourge such as Christ sends in their synagogues and from city to city. So these false teachers always persecuted the true, Matt 23:30-39. And you may see in Matt 22:1-16 how Christ sends forth his disciples to call to the marriage. And when Christ sent forth his 70 disciples, he said, I send you forth as lambs among wolves without bag or scrip. And you may see how he did exhort them, how they should preach and behave themselves. Luke 10:1-12. And the apostle told the Ephesians, among whom he had been laboring for the space of 3 years, and preached among them. And he had not ceased to warn every one of them both night and day with tears, and said, I have coveted no man's silver, gold, or apparel, for you know that these hands have ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. I have showed you in all things how that in so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how that he said, it is a blessed thing to give rather than to receive. Acts 20:31-35. Here you may see an example of a true minister of Christ, and also in 1 Cor 9:1-20, how the apostle there strove to keep the gospel without charge and to make it free, and how the apostle reproves such that did not labor, that they might labor and follow the apostles, whom they had for examples, as in 2 Thessalonians 3:6-12, who would not be chargeable to them. And the apostle said that Christ ascended on high and gave gifts unto men for the work of the ministry, some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all meet together in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, and unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And so to every one of us is given grace, according to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. F4:1-16. Here you may see, they had the gifts from Christ that made them ministers, and not from schools and colleges nor powers. And Peter said, let every man as he has received the gift, minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And the elders were to feed the flock of God, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a willing mind, not as though you were lords over God's heritage, but that you may be examples to the flock. 1 Pet 4:10-5:2-3. In Rom 12:6-8, there you may see how the apostle exhorts them to improve their gifts in teaching and prophesying and exhorting, and these gifts they had from Christ. None of the ministers today have been appointed by Christ. None have been trained by Christ to become perfect like the teacher. Yet Christ said, the pupil cannot be greater than the teacher, and so should be perfected first. Those who are teaching and preaching without having been taught, cleansed, purified, perfected, restored to the image of God, and authorized by Christ are ministers of Satan, speaking divinations from their carnal mind, which in enmity with God and in the nature of death. And in 1 Tim 3, there you may see how the bishops, deacons, and overseers, they were not to be given to wine, nor strikers, nor fighters, nor covetous, nor given to filthy lucre, but should be such as could rule their own houses well, having their children in subjection. For if they could not rule their own houses well, how should they take care of the church of God? And likewise, their wives were to be honest, not evil speakers, but sober and faithful in all things. And so let these bishops, elders, deacons, and ministers first be proved, and if they are found blameless, then let them minister, as in 1 Tim 3:1-13. So it seems they were not to minister if they were not blameless in these things. And likewise, you may see the qualifications of the elder men, and the women that were to be teachers of good things, and teachers of the younger women, as in Tit 2:1-6. And you may see all along in the scriptures, how Christ and the apostles testified against the covetous prophets, shepherds, and teachers that preached for hire and filthy lucre, and how that the true prophets, Christ and the apostles, spoke forth freely and did suffer by the hirelings and the covetous that taught for filthy lucre. Christ told his disciples and believers to wait at Jerusalem until they were endued with power from on high, and they should receive the Holy Ghost, and then they should be witnesses of Christ, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and unto the utmost parts of the earth, as in Acts 1:4-9. Now here you may see the primitive ordination of Christ's ministers. They had their gifts from Christ, and were endued with power from on high, and they received the Holy Ghost, and everyone was to minister, as they had received the gift from Christ. So these were not endued with power from below, nor from the high priests, nor kings, nor emperors, nor men, nor schools, nor colleges, but they were endued with power from on high, and their gifts they had from Christ that ascended on high, above all principalities, powers, thrones, and dominions. So here is the antiquity and first ordination of Christ's ministers and teachers, according to the scripture which we own. God poured out of his Spirit upon all flesh, as in Joel 2:2. By which sons, daughters, handmaids, and servants should prophesy, and have their spiritual visions, and old men have their spiritual dreams. And this now is witnessed in the days of the new covenant and the gospel day of Christ. But those who rebel against the Spirit of God, and vex it, and grieve it, and make a mock at it, they say, prophecy and revelation and visions are ceased. But the apostle said, no man knows the things of God but by the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God does reveal them. And the natural man perceives not the things of the Spirit of God, they are foolishness to him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. 1 Cor 2:11-14. Say concerning the antiquity of our leader and that which gives us knowledge. The Lord said, speaking of Christ, in Isa 55:3-4. I will make an everlasting covenant, and behold, I will give him for a witness and a leader and a commander to the people. And he shall feed his flock like a shepherd, and he shall gather his lambs in his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. Isa 40:11. And I will bring the blind by a way that they know not, and I will lead them into paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. Isa 42:16. Christ said, he is the good shepherd that lays down his life for his sheep. And he calls his sheep by name and leads them and goes before them, and his sheep follow him, for they know his voice. John 10:11-3-4. Christ said he would send his believers the Comforter, the Spirit of truth, which should proceed from the Father, which should guide them and lead them into all truth. John 14:16-19-15, 26:16-13. So this Spirit of truth was, and is, the leader and guider into all truth of the true, ministers and teachers and disciples and believers in Christ. For the apostle said that no prophecy of Scripture came by the will of man, neither is it of any private interpretation, but holy men of God spoke forth the Scripture, as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. 2 Pet 1:21. And so it is the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, the Spirit of truth, that leads Christ's believers into all truth and into all the truth of the Scriptures. And John said, he that sits on the throne shall dwell among them, and they shall hunger and thirst no more. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them to living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. They are before the throne of God, and serve him night and day in his temple. Rev 7:15-17. That which gave the Church of Christ knowledge in the apostles' days gives us, the Church of Christ, knowledge in our days. The apostle said, God who commanded light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts, mark in our hearts, to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. So here we have this light from God and Christ, and it shines in our hearts by God's command to give us the knowledge of his glory in the face of Christ his Son. And God has the glory and honor of this light, which gives us the knowledge of Christ our Savior, who is the treasure of wisdom and knowledge. Which light of God in Christ gives us the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. As before, and without this light we have not the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. As in 2 Cor 4:6-7, Roman 12. Now concerning the antiquity of our teacher in the new covenant. Christ said, is it not written in the prophets, you shall be all taught of God? Every man therefore that has heard and learned of the Father comes unto me, and no man comes unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him. John 6:44-45. All your children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children, in righteousness shall they are established. Isa 54:13. And the Lord said in Jer 31:31-34, behold, the day is coming, said the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not according to the old covenant that I made with their fathers. But this is the covenant, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me from the least to the greatest. So the old covenant and its priests, whose lips were to preserve people's knowledge, they cease, and there is no need of them in the new covenant. For all shall know God, by the law he puts in their minds and writes in their hearts. Heb 7:8-28. And this new covenant is an everlasting covenant and lasts forever in all ages. And all God's people know God and Christ by the law he puts in their minds and writes in their hearts that they need not give priests tithes and maintenance to teach people to know the Lord. The apostle said to the church of Christ, the Thessalonians 1:4-9. As concerning brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. and John, in his general epistle to the Church of Christ, directs them to their teacher, the anointing within them, and said, "Let that therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. And these things have I written unto you, concerning those who seduce you. But you have an anointing that you have received from him, that abides in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie. And even as it has taught you, you shall abide in him." 1 John 2:24-27. This John wrote to the Church of Christ that had received the truth and were established in it. Now this anointing in them, which they have received of God, was the teacher of his people then, and it is the teacher of God's people, the Church of Christ now. And the priests or teachers that would seduce from this anointing's teaching within, they would seduce them from continuing in the Father and in the Son, and so from the promise of eternal life, as in 1 John 2, 21-24-27. And the apostle said to Titus, "The grace of God, which brings salvation, has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." Tit 2:11-12. Here you may see what was the Church of Christ's teacher: the law in the heart, the anointing within, the grace of God in the heart, which brings salvation. It has appeared unto all men to teach them and bring their salvation if they do not walk despitefully against the Spirit of grace and turn it into wantonness. And the Lord said unto Paul, "My grace is sufficient, my strength is made perfect in weakness." 2 Cor 12:9-10. And here is the antiquity of our teacher, which was set up above 1600 years ago, by which we know God and continue in the Father and in the Son and have eternal life, which grace is sufficient to establish our hearts and bring our salvation. So that we have no need to give the priests and hirelings tithes and money to teach us, for we are come to the waters of life, without money and without price, which satisfies our thirsty souls. John 7:7-55, 1-2, so that we do praise God and sing hallelujah through Jesus Christ. Romans 13, concerning the antiquity of our mediator. The apostle said, "The law served, which was added because of transgression, until the seed should come, to whom the promise was made, and it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator." Gal 3:19. And the apostle said, "God would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, and Christ gave himself a ransom for all to be testified of in due time." And there is one God and one mediator between God and man, even the man Christ Jesus. 1 Tim 2:4-6. Now this is the one mediator which we own between God and man, God having poured his Spirit upon all flesh, men and women, that with the Spirit of God they might know Christ, the one mediator between them and God. So here you may see, the apostle did not set up many mediators between God and man, but one mediator, Christ Jesus, the Son of God. Romans 14. Concerning the antiquity of overseers, the apostle said unto the elders, and to all the flock, over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. Acts 20:28. Here you may see, the overseers of the Church of Christ were not made by men, but the Holy Ghost made them overseers. So they had the spiritual eye to watch one over another. And Christ, when he sent forth his ministers, told them that they should be brought before magistrates and powers, and said unto them, "Take you no thought how or what things you shall answer, or what you shall say, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say," as in Luke 12:11-12. So here they were to wait in the Holy Ghost, that led them into all truth, and not to take thought nor follow their own thoughts, but to trust to the Holy Ghost, their leader and comforter. Romans 15. Concerning the antiquity of the Church of Christ's prayer, and in what? The apostle said, "The Spirit helps our infirmities. We know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us, with sighs and groans that cannot be uttered. And he that searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints, according to the will of God." Romans 8:26-27. And again the apostle said, "I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also." 1 Cor 14:15. And again, the apostle Jude said, "You beloved, build up yourselves in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." Jude 20. Here you may see it is the Spirit that God pours upon all flesh, and the Holy Ghost, that the Church of Christ and all people are to sing and pray in, and serve and worship God in, and not to grieve the Spirit of God, nor vex it, nor quench it, nor rebel against it. After that, God had made man and woman in his own image and likeness, and blessed them, and put them in paradise, and gave them a command to eat of every tree, except the tree of knowledge of good and evil. For in the day they did eat, they should die. But the serpent, the lying spirit, told them they should not die if they did eat. And so they followed the serpent's teaching and disobeyed God's. And therefore God drove them out of paradise into the earth. Here you may see how soon a lying false teacher arose and sowed his evil seed. And Adam and Eve, for disobeying God, were driven out of paradise and lost the image of God and their blessed state. And the old world, which grieved the Lord and his spirit and corrupted the earth and filled it with violence, the Lord said, his spirit should not always strive with man. So that God brought a flood upon the old ungodly world and destroyed them, but saved Noah and his family, a preacher of righteousness. And after, in the new world, Nimrod got up and built Babel, but the Lord confounded him and his followers. And after, Sodom and Gomorrah run into ungodliness and unlawful deeds, and God turned them into ashes. And after the Lord, by his mighty power, had brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, how soon did the serpent sow his wicked seed in them? And God gave them his law and his good spirit to instruct them, as in Nahum 9:20. But they rebelled against his spirit and turned their backs against his good law. And for their disobedience, how often did the Lord allow them to be carried into captivity? And at last the 10 tribes, for their disobedience, by Salmaneser, the king of Assyria, were carried away out of Samaria, and the land of Canaan into captivity, for their disobeying and rebelling against the Lord. And after, the 2 tribes were carried away by the king of Babylon from Jerusalem, and the land of Canaan, which was called the glory of all lands. When the Lord Jesus Christ came, the Jews stopped their ears and closed their eyes to him and his doctrine, and cried, away with him, crucify him, crucify him. Christ told them, their city would be compassed with armies, and their temple thrown down, and they should be scattered over all nations. Which came to pass by Titus the Roman, who destroyed Jerusalem and the temple, and scattered the Jews, that they could never build Jerusalem nor the temple since. And thus they were driven out of their own land, for disobeying God, and forsaking his law and spirit, like Adam and Eve, who were driven out of paradise, for disobeying God and following the serpent's teaching and forsaking of God's. After Christ sent his disciples to preach the gospel of life and salvation unto all nations and to every creature under heaven, the devil sowed his wicked seed and tares in the hearts of people when they slept and grew careless of God's truth. And the devil produced many antichrists, false prophets, false teachers, false apostles, seducers, and deceivers, which got the form of godliness and the outward form of Christianity, and led many after them, and so set up a false church, the whore, mystery Babylon, mother of harlots, who rode upon the beast in the dragon's power and made the people, nations, and tongues like waters. And in this whore and false church is found the blood of the prophets and martyrs of Jesus. For John said, she was drunk with the blood of the prophets and martyrs of Jesus, that is, with heavenly Jerusalem's children's blood. For heavenly Jerusalem, the bride, the Lamb's wife, is the mother of all the true Christians that believe in the light, and are children of the light, and receive Christ, who gives them power to become the sons of God. So this whore, or false church, went from the true mother, heavenly Jerusalem, and from Christ the true husband, and became the mother of harlots, the whore, that drank the blood of the martyrs, and got upon the persecuting beast in the dragon's power. But the judgment of the great whore is come. And the beast, dragon, and false prophet, John saw cast into the lake of fire, and the everlasting gospel preached again to all nations, tongues, and people, to settle them. And all that receive the everlasting gospel, the seed in which all nations are blessed, are heavenly Jerusalem's children, and children of the seed, and are children and heirs of the everlasting kingdom of God and Christ, that stands in power and righteousness, and joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost, and are of the new creation in Christ Jesus. And this seed shall be as the sand of the sea, and the dust of the earth, and the stars of the heaven that cannot be numbered. Christ saw his seed, which are the children of his kingdom. He that has an ear, let him hear. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever, Heb 13:8, who exercises his prophetical office as he is a heavenly prophet, who opened people's eyes to see spiritual and heavenly things, and Christ their Savior, who redeems and purchases them with his own life, his blood. So Christ the prophet is to be heard in all things by his children, who enlightens everyone that comes into the world, that in the light they might see him and hear him. He opens the book of conscience to them and the book of life, that in it they may read and see their names written there, which book no man can open but Christ the Lamb. Christ exercises his office as a heavenly bishop, who raises up his children out of the death in Adam and makes them to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And he is a bishop to oversee them, that they do not go out of the heavenly places in him. Christ exercises his office as a heavenly shepherd among his spiritual sheep, and feeds them with his bread from heaven and water of life in his heavenly pasture, and his sheep know his voice and follow him. Christ exercises his office as he is the King of kings and Lord of lords, who rules in the hearts of his people by faith, that they all may be one, said Christ, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us. And the glory that you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one. John 17:21-23. So Christ, the heavenly King and Lord, rules, orders, and governs in the hearts and souls of his children, who is the bishop and chief shepherd of the soul to oversee and feed his sheep. Concerning our baptism, the apostle said, there is one baptism. F4:5. And by one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. So this is the one spiritual baptism, which was set up above 1600 years ago. And you may see more of the distinction between John's baptism and Christ's in my book, entitled, A Distinction Between the Two Baptisms and the Two Suppers of Christ. How that John's baptism with the elements of water did decrease and Christ's baptism with fire and the Holy Ghost does increase, who thoroughly purges his floor and burns up the chaff with unquenchable fire, and how Christ gathers the wheat into his garner, and this is our baptism and baptizer. George Fox Edmonton, the second month, 1688 postscript. Then antiquity of our cross. The apostle said to the church of Christ, that the preaching of the cross is to those who perish foolishness, but unto us that are saved, it is the power of God. 1 Cor 1:18. And such as were and are enemies to the cross of Christ were and are enemies to the power of God. So all your stone, wooden, brass, silver, or gold crosses you have invented and set up since the apostles' days are not the cross of Christ, the power of God, but the works of your own hands. And the apostle said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world was crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Gal 6:14. So it was the power of God, the cross of Christ, the apostle gloried in, by whom the world was crucified to him, and he unto the world. And this is our cross which we glory in, which was set up above 1600 years ago. And it is not like that it was a cross made of wood, stone, iron, brass, silver, or gold, that the apostle or the church of Christ gloried in. Or that such outward, temporal, and worldly crosses, as men make and invent, are capable of crucifying people to the world. What crucifies people to the world and the world to them is the cross of Christ, the power of God, which power of God all are to bow down to, and their faith is to stand in it. And they are foolish and dark, that think a cross of stone, wood, iron, silver, or gold, which man has made, is the cross of Christ, the power of God. And to bow to such worldly temporal things and call them the cross of Christ is contrary to the scriptures that the apostles taught to the church of Christ in their days. And this was the church of Christ's cross in the apostles' days and is the church of Christ's now. But they could not, nor can we, bow to any temporal outward worldly cross that men have made with their hands and bow down to them. For such as do worship the works of their own hands are enemies to the cross of Christ, the power of God. George Fox, the cross of Christ is the inward cross of self-denial and obedience. A spiritual or heavenly salutation to all the tender-hearted in Christendom that are seeking the kingdom of God and the righteousness thereof, which I desire and entreat them to read over in the love of God in which they are sent to them from him that desires the good of all mankind here and their eternal happiness hereafter. By George Fox to all the tender-hearted in Christendom, whose faces are turned towards heavenly Jerusalem, and whose minds are turned and drawn by the Spirit of God to Christ, who is the new and living way to God, and the one mediator between God and man, who enlightens everyone that comes into the world with his heavenly divine light, which is the life in Christ the Word, by whom all things were made and created. Christ said, "Believe in the light that you may become children of the light." So Christ, who is not of the world but from above, has given us his light to believe in and to walk in, that we may have the light of life. And he that believes is a child of light and born of God and overcomes the world, and passes from the death that came by Adam and is engrafted into Christ the life, the second Adam, and so are living stones or members of him, the living head. And the children of this light that walk in this light have fellowship with the Son and the Father and one with another, and all Christendom that walk not in the light that Christ has given you are not in this heavenly divine fellowship. But this prophecy we do witness fulfilled and fulfilling concerning Christ. God said, "I will give him for a covenant of the people, and a light to the Gentiles, and he shall be my salvation to the ends of the earth." Isaiah 49:6-8. So that those who come to know their salvation and into covenant with God, they must come into the light of Christ, which gives the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus, which light shines in their hearts, the heavenly treasure in the earthen vessels. And if all that is called Christendom had believed in the light, the life in Christ, which Christ gives and teaches to believe in that which he gives them, then had they been all children of the light, and of the day of Christ, in unity and fellowship in the light, and then they had not made so many faiths and beliefs which they have destroyed one another about. And if all Christendom had observed the apostles' doctrine to the church of Christ, who exhorted them to look to Jesus the author and finisher of their faith, then they would not have made so many faiths, about which they have persecuted one another. Whereas no manner of men below can make a Catholic divine faith. For I say that Christ Jesus is the beginner and finisher of our holy, divine, precious, Catholic, or universal faith, which he, the Holy One, does reveal from faith to faith. And the mystery of this holy faith is held in a pure conscience and not in an impure one, and it purifies the heart and gives victory over that which displeases God and separates from God, in which holy faith which we have from the Holy One, we please the Holy God and have access to him. In this holy divine faith is our unity. So Christ has the honor, who is the author of our faith and finisher of it, and likewise gives us his light, the life in himself. And happy had all Christendom been, had they kept to the apostles' doctrine, to the church of Christ, who said, "The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared unto all men and teaches us, namely, Christians then and now, to live godly, righteously, and soberly, and deny unrighteousness and worldly lusts." Now I say, happy would all the Christians been since the apostles' days, if they had kept to this grace of God as their teacher, which would have brought their salvation, and would have brought them into favor with God. If they had, then there would not have been so many itching ears, and have set up so many schools and colleges to make teachers, which brings Christendom into confusion one against another. Some may say, "Is this grace sufficient?" God said to Paul, it was sufficient, when he was in his trials and temptations, and thousands can witness that the grace of God is sufficient and does teach them what to deny and how to live and does bring their salvation. For as the law came by Moses in the Old Testament, and the Jews were to live under it, so grace and truth is come by Jesus in the New Testament, and this grace and truth is in the hearts of God's people, and they are under grace's teaching and in the covenant of grace. For Christ by the grace of God tasted death for every man, that they may all come out of the death in Adam, to the light and life in him, by his light, grace, truth, and faith in their hearts, that he is the author of. For there is a prophecy in Joel 2:28-29, that God would pour out his Spirit upon all flesh, which the apostles in Acts 2:16-18 show the fulfilling of to the Jews. And now what is the matter that all the sons, daughters, servants, handmaids, and old men in Christendom have not their heavenly prophecies, visions, and dreams? Is it not because they have erred from the Spirit of God and vex, quench, and grieve it that he has poured upon them and become like the Jews to whom God gave his Spirit, but they rebelled against it? Therefore, is not all Christendom on heaps one against another, out of fellowship? Therefore, the means by which all Christendom and all people are to come into unity and fellowship in the Spirit is that they must come all into the Spirit that God has poured upon them, by which Spirit they must be circumcised, and have the body of sin and death cut off, which they came into by transgression in Adam, who had none before he fell. And they must be baptized with the Spirit, to plunge down sin by this Spirit. I say, all must be baptized into one body, and so all to drink into one Spirit. This Spirit of God brings all into fellowship and unity, for the Spirit of God is the bond of peace. And in it is the profiting, and it opens the heavenly prophecies, visions, and dreams to God's people now, as it did in the apostles' days. Christ Jesus set up a worship above 1600 years ago, in the Spirit and in the truth, when he put down the Jews' worship at Jerusalem and the Samaritans at Jacob's well and said, "The hour comes, and now is, that those who worship the Father must worship him in spirit and in truth, for such he seeks to worship him. And therefore all must come to the Spirit of God and his truth in their hearts, by which truth and spirit in their hearts, they must know the God of truth, an infinite spirit, and in his truth and in his spirit, to worship and serve the God of truth. And if all Christendom had kept to the truth and spirit in their hearts, they had kept to the worship that Christ, the Lord from heaven, has set up. For none can set up any better than he, and then they had not set up so many worships and persecuted one another about them. But all people must return to the Spirit of God and the truth in their hearts if they will serve and worship God their Creator. For God is come to teach his people himself by his Son. For as the Apostle said, God at sundry times and in divers manners spoke to the fathers by the prophets, but now in these last days God has spoken to us by his Son, who bruises the serpent's head, who has been the head of all false speakers and false religions, churches, ways, and worships. But God is the speaker now to his people by his Son, who is the speaker to Adam in paradise. But when Adam forsook God's teaching and followed the serpents, he lost his happiness. So have the Jews and the Christians. Therefore all must return by the Spirit, light, grace, and truth of Jesus, to Christ Jesus the great prophet, shepherd, bishop, leader, and counselor, that they may hear God speak to them by his Son. And he that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son has not life, though he may make a profession of all the Scriptures. And none can receive the Son, but by the light, grace, and truth that comes from him in their hearts. Why are not all Christendom the sons and daughters of God, which make a profession of Christ? Is it not because they do not receive Christ, in his grace and truth in their hearts, which comes from him? For Adam and Eve, by eating of what God had forbidden, brought death on them and their posterity that have sinned. Rom 5:12. And now Christ the second Adam said that he is the bread from heaven, and except they eat this bread from heaven, that he gives, they have not life in him. So by eating came death, and by eating comes life again, it is not by talking. And he gives his bread from heaven now, for he is the heavenly bread, rock, and foundation, Christ the same today as yesterday and so forever to all his people, who was dead and is alive again and lives forevermore and reigns in his people. And now in this gospel day of Christ, the new covenant, God writes his law in the hearts of his people, and puts it in their minds, that all should know him from the greatest to the least. And none need say to his brother, "Know the Lord," which thousands do witness this law of love, faith, and life, that all may read what God puts in their minds and writes in their hearts. And such are heavenly Jerusalem's children, who is the mother of them all. And no mother can they own below the heavenly Jerusalem, no more than the Christians did in the primitive times. And such are the church of the firstborn written in heaven, clothed with the sun, and the moon is under her feet, all changeable churches, ways, worships, religions, and teachers. All which change as changeable things, for the moon changes, but the sun does not change, but clothes his living members, who is over his house, the royal priesthood offering up spiritual sacrifices to God, not carnal, by Jesus Christ. And when Christ sent his disciples to preach the gospel, it was not with the penalty of prisons, gallows, fire, and spoiling of the goods of those who would not believe and receive them. And therefore, it is time for all that profess Christianity to put up the carnal sword concerning religion and obey Christ's command, who said he came not to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And therefore love God and Christ and one another and enemies, for love and love is the most excellent way, above all tinkling cymbals and sounding brass. For those who dwell in love, dwell in God. Postscript: and all you teachers that scoff and mock at the motion or moving of the Spirit of God, you would never have had the Holy Scriptures, of which you make a trade of, had not the holy men of God spoken them forth as they were moved by the Holy Spirit of God. And this shows that you are erred from the Holy Spirit of God, which the apostles were in, and the moving of it, and fellowship in it, which proceeds from the Father and the Son. And as the apostle said to the church of Christ, "That I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death." Phil 3:10, this is the right knowledge of Christ and the true conformity. And those who are conformable to Christ, who said, He is from above and not of this world, such are not conformable to this world. And now all you that go under the name of Christians, let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. 2 Tim 2:19. And if any man does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Rom 8:9. And the apostle tells the church of Christ that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. 1 Cor 12:3, and the Holy Ghost proceeds from the Father and the Son. John 15:26. And again the apostle said to the Corinthians, Examine yourselves whether you are in the faith, prove your own selves, know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you are reprobates tested and rejected. 2 Cor 13:5. And again the apostle said to the Romans, The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart, and this is the word of faith which we preach. Rom 10:8. And again the apostle said, The mystery which has been from ages and generations, but now is manifest unto the saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Col 1:26-28. Now let all that are called Christians consider these scriptures before mentioned. Do you know the Holy Ghost and Spirit of Christ, controlling you? If not, how are you Christ's, and how can you call him Lord? Is Christ in you, and the word of faith in your hearts and mouths to obey it, and do it? Oh. Mind the hidden man in the heart, and truth in the inward parts, which is with the Lord of a great price. And have salt in yourselves to savor withal, and oil in your own lamps, that you may not be like the foolish virgins. And improve your own talents, and be not like the slothful servant, for the manifestation of the Spirit of God is given to every man to benefit all. And be not only talkers or hearers of the word of God, but doers, lest you deceive your own souls. For pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widow in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. All that profess Christianity must come to this pure religion that will keep them from the world's spots. And therefore this religion is above all the world's religions and spots, and keeps in the pure holy tenderness and exercise to visit the widows and fatherless. So God Almighty preserve all that really profess Christianity in it. Amen. And the apostle said to the true Christians, You are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And again the apostle said, Know you not that your bodies are the temples of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God? 2 Cor 6:16. All Christians that profess Christianity should come to this knowledge, that their bodies are the temples of God. In the Old Testament, the Jews had an outward temple, but Stephen said in the New Testament, The Most High dwells not in temples made with hands. Acts 7:47-49. But as before, God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And their bodies are the temples of the Lord and his Holy Ghost, and all that profess Christianity should know this. And again the apostle said, Know you not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? And if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. 1 Cor 3:16-17. Now all that profess Christianity ought to know the Spirit of God to dwell in them and their bodies to be the temple of God and have a care of defiling it, lest God destroy them, for God is holy and he would have his people to be holy. And Christ told the Pharisees, which were great outward professors of the Old Testament, that the kingdom of God comes not by observations. Neither shall they say, Lo here or lo there, for behold the kingdom of God is within you. Luke 17:20-21. Now all you that profess yourselves Christians, have you found the kingdom of God within you? Christ said the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman hid in 3 measures of meal, until the whole was leavened. And again Christ said, The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed. You that profess Christianity, have you found this kingdom, and the pearl hidden in your field? Come light your candles and sweep your house, that you may find the heavenly treasure in your earthen vessels, who have been looking without for it, and that you may know the leaven of the kingdom to leaven your souls, hearts, and minds, into one heavenly lump, as you may read, Matt 13, Luke 15. And the apostle said, The things of God knows no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, revealing them to him, that we might know the things that are freely given us of God. 1 Cor 2:14-12. So all that profess themselves Christians, they must come to the spirit of God in them, the light and word in their hearts, if they are to know God and Christ, and the things of God which he freely gives unto them, without money and without price. And Isaiah said, Ho, everyone that thirsts come to the waters, and he that has no money, come you, and you may have milk and wine without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ears and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. Isa 55:1-3. Now is it not time for all Christians to hearken unto the Lord by his Spirit, and come unto his free waters of life, that their souls may live? And the Spirit and the bride say, Come, and let him that hears say, Come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Rev 22:17. Here are the free callers to the free water of life, without money and without price. And the Lord said, Look unto me, and be you saved all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. Isa 45:22. Now God, having poured his Spirit upon all flesh, that with his Spirit they might all look unto the Lord Jesus Christ, and see their salvation. And again the Lord said, All the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of God. And that must be by his Spirit. For the Lord said, My righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation. Isaiah 51:8-52:10. Your strength is to sit still. That is in the Spirit and power of God. Isa 30:15. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now this is the comfort of all those who wait upon the Lord, whose strength is to sit still, or to stand still and see the Lord their salvation. And all the children of the Lord shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of his children, and in righteousness shall they are established. Isaiah 54:13, John 6:45. And the many weapons that are formed against them shall not prosper, and every tongue that shall rise up against them in judgment, God's children shall condemn, that are taught of him. And we know many weapons have been formed against us, and many tongues have risen up in judgment against us that are taught of God. But God has restrained the weapons, and given power to his children to condemn their false judgments and evil tongues. Now concerning prayer and singing, the apostle said, I will pray with the Spirit and pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit and sing with the understanding also. And the apostle Jude exhorts the church of Christ to pray in the Holy Ghost. Jude 20:1-14-15. So he did not give them books to pray by. To pray with the Spirit and to pray with the Holy Ghost is not to pray with books. The apostle said, The Spirit helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groans that cannot be uttered. And he that searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Rom 8:26-27. So my desire is that all may come to this Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit in their hearts, in which they pray to God and for one another and for all men, and praise God for his mercies which endure forever. The apostle said, God has revealed his things unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. 1 Cor 2:10. And again the apostle said, The righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Rom 1:17. And again the apostle said, The gospel which was preached by me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Gal 1:11-12. Now can any preach the righteousness of God, and the faith of Christ, and the deep things of God, and the gospel of Christ, except these things be revealed to them by the Spirit of God, as they were to the church of Christ in the apostles' days? And the apostle said, When it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Gal 1:15-16. And Christ said, No man knows the Son but the Father, neither knows any man the Father save the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. Matt 11:27. Now can any be ministers or preachers of the Son of God or of the Father without this revelation, seeing they cannot know the Son or the Father except by revelation? So then none can truly preach God or Christ, if they do not know them, unless Christ reveals him and his Father to them, which blessed be God he has done to thousands in this age, who freely preach him and the Father, who walk in the light, as he is in the light, and have fellowship with the Father and the Son, and one with another. Blessed be God forever. George Fox Scripture Testimony Against Persecution for Religion, and a persuasive to take off all the laws in Christendom, made to force or bind the tender consciences, which is God's prerogative. Haman would have destroyed all the seed of the Jews, because their laws, religion, and worship were contrary to Ahasuerus the king. But Haman was destroyed himself, who said, "It was not for the king's profit that they should live." But the king saw it was for his profit they should live and have their liberty. Esther 3:5-8. Christ rebuked such as would have had fire to come down from heaven, to destroy the lives of those that would not receive him, and he told them they did not know what spirit they were of. And therefore, how have they known what spirit they were of that have destroyed men's lives about religion and worship, since the apostles' days, who have not prayed for fire to come down from heaven to destroy them, but have kindled fires on earth to destroy them? And have not such been worse, and more dark than they which Christ reproved, that would have had fire to come down from heaven to consume those who would not receive him? And are they not under a great reproof? Christ whipped the buyers and sellers out of the temple of God, but we do not read that he ever whipped any in. And Christ said, "Let the tares and the wheat grow together until the harvest, which is the end of the world, lest they pluck up the wheat also." And at the end of the world, Christ will send forth his angels, which should be the reapers. And are not angels spirits, and not men so only angels are to take action against the wicked? Christ told Peter put up his sword into his sheath, and said, "All that take the sword shall perish by the sword." And did ever Peter, or any of Christ's apostles and disciples, draw out the carnal sword out of its sheath, or make use of carnal weapons after, to defend Christ's church, religion, worship, or faith? But on the contrary, Christ told Peter to put up his sword and healed the high priest's servant's ear, which he had cut off. This was a sign of the healing gospel, and the apostle said that the weapons of their warfare were not carnal but spiritual, and that they did not wrestle with flesh and blood. Now has not all Christendom, that, since the apostles' days, have defended and held up their church, faith, and worship with carnal weapons, and wrestled with flesh and blood, have not their weapons and warfare been carnal and not spiritual as the apostles were, and the church of Christ in the apostles' times? And therefore, those who have drawn the sword to defend their religion, church, faith, and worship have not been in the spirit which Christ and the apostles were in, but the spirit of the destroyer. And have not those who have used these scriptures to persecute for religion abused them, saying, "Let every soul be subject to the higher power, and obey every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, for the punishment of evildoers." And the apostle tells you what evildoers they were: menslayers, murderers of fathers, murderers of mothers, and perjured persons. But the apostle does not say, "Let every soul be subject to the higher powers, and to obey every ordinance of man to punish people for religion, faith, and worship, and because they will not be of their church." For if the apostle had meant so, why was not he subject to the Jews' religion, and to Caesar's, the Roman emperor, and Diana's? But the apostle said to the church of Christ, they were not to touch nor taste the doctrines, commandments, and ordinances of men, and said, Christ had abolished the Jews' law of ordinances and commandments. And therefore the Christians were not like to be subject to them, nor to the heathens, when they were not to touch, taste, nor handle them, who said, they perish with the using. And do not you read in the Revelation, how it was the beast and the dragon's power that compelled all, both small and great, to conform, and to worship him and his image, and to receive it, and to be of his religion? But does not John tell you, the beast was cast into the lake of fire? And does not John tell you, that the blood of the prophets and martyrs of Jesus was found in Mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots or false church? And how that she was drunk with the blood of the saints and martyrs of Jesus, and that the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication, which made them mad, and rage against the saints and martyrs of Jesus? And what does John tell you was the end of this whore, or false church? The wine of her fornications is the false church's promise that you can live your life as you please, embracing, fornicating, the passions and pleasures of the world, without fear of God's disapproval. So the world became drunk on their permitted pleasures' adulteries with love of the passions, pleasures, pride, and greed of the world. And when anyone challenged their presumption, they were enraged against them for suggesting they were in a godless life of the flesh in a false salvation. And do you not read in the 10 persecutions what havoc the heathen kings and emperors made of the Christians in the days of the 10 persecutions? And was it not because they did not join and conform to them in their religion and worship? And therefore, is it not time for all that profess Christianity to lay away their carnal weapons and put up their outward swords into their sheaths, as Christ commanded, that they have defended their religion, church, and worship with, and come to the spiritual weapons and warfare that the apostles used? And remember the example of old Cain, that vagabond and wanderer from the true faith, who killed righteous Abel, and remember Ishmael, that persecutor of the right seed. And the apostle said, "He that is born of the flesh persecutes him that is born of the Spirit." Even so it is now, for we never read that he that is born of the Spirit did persecute any. And Christ Jesus said, "Love enemies and love one another, and by this you shall be known to be my disciples." And therefore all that profess Christ should obey his command. Nebuchadnezzar caused a herald to proclaim that whosoever would not bow to his image should be cast into the fiery furnace. But the Lord changed his purpose and saved his people. And did not the Lord after that make him to know that the Most High ruled in the kingdoms of men? And therefore never let any herald cry more in Christendom under pain of fire, halter, imprisonment, and spoiling of the goods of those who will not bow, and fall down and worship another's image of religion. For it cannot be the true religion, being Christ never gave any such commandment, who sent his disciples to preach the gospel to all nations. But not with a penalty of fire, halter, gallows, prison, and spoiling of the goods of those who did not receive it, nor them. But the dust of their feet will be a sufficient witness against them in the day of judgment. Were not Pharaoh and his host great persecutors and destroyers of children? And what became of him and his host? Were not they destroyed in the sea in the end, by the Lord's power, who heard the groans of his people in their sufferings? And was not Herod a great persecutor of the Lord's people, who killed young children, and who would have killed Christ? But the Lord delivered him out of his hand, and therefore it is time to lay away all persecution about religion, for that is not of God. For the apostle said, "He that hates his brother is a murderer, and does not have eternal life abiding in him. But he that dwells in love dwells in God, for God is love." David was not to build the outward temple, because he had been a man of blood, in outward war, in the old covenant. Therefore, how can you that have shed so much blood, and spoiled so many people in their persons, lives, and estates concerning religion, faith, and worship, build up a spiritual house or temple in the New Testament, who have been out of the peaceable spirit of Christ Jesus? Zion was not to be built up with blood in the Old Testament. Therefore is that which is called Christendom in the New Testament like to build up heavenly Zion with blood, persecution, jails, and spoiling of goods. When Christ said plainly to those who would have had men's lives destroyed that did not receive him, they did not know what spirit they were of. And how can you know what spirit you are of that have put to death and imprisoned to death and ruined so many in spoiling their goods about matters of faith, church, religion, and worship? And how are we like to trust our bodies and souls with them that do not know what spirit they are of themselves? Christ Jesus, who often said to the people and to the multitude, "He that has an ear, let him hear," so that he did not persecute any that had not ears to hear, and such as stopped their ears or closed their eyes and would not see with their eyes nor hear with their ears, lest they should have been converted. And Christ did not prison, nor persecute, nor spoil the goods of any that did not hear and conform to his religion, way, worship, and church. But often, as is said before, Christ said, "He that has an ear, let him hear," and left them to the ear. And John in the Revelation said to the seven churches, "He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said to the churches." So he did not say, "He that does not hear what the Spirit said to the churches and conform should be cast into prison and his goods spoiled and banished." Christ gave no such command, nor his apostles, but his command is that we should love one another and love's enemies. And he that dwells in love dwells in God. So then he that dwells not in love does not dwell in God, and he that hates his brother is a murderer, and no manslayer has eternal life abiding in him. And does not John say, in the Revelation, "It was the beast in the dragon's power that compelled all, both small and great, to worship him and his image"? And do you not read, that the beast and the dragon was cast into the lake of fire, and all his followers and worshippers. And therefore is it not time for all that profess Christ to repent and reform, and come to the apostles' spiritual weapons and armor, concerning the faith, church, religion, and worship of God. George Fox Doctrine Book 6, continued back to Doctrine Index, this website's purpose is to show how to become free from sin by benefiting from the changing power of God through the cross, which leads to union with God and His kingdom.